Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
A whole new week, where you can learn to praise God and do what He wants you to do. I mean, obedience is so important, and it takes us years to learn that. But another wonderful week of opportunity for you, because the one who leads you makes no mistakes. Remember that. The one who leads you makes no mistakes. The one who guides you has the right directions. I remember when Darren and I used to hold the atlas when we'd go across state lines, and Darren would just trust me that I knew, because I'd traveled the U.S. in a motorhome in the 70s. But we would have some different ideas about how to get to a place. But God, the one who guides you, has the right directions. The one who blesses you brings the greatest joy. Oh, He does. Praise God. Let's do our Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. Oh, friend, you are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And I bless you today with wisdom and understanding, especially as you get into God's Word, that you can remember God's Word all day long that you read, and also be able to discern and understand every word you read. That's so important. You can hear Call to Freedom on KLTT at 9 o'clock at night, 2:30 in the morning, and 5:30 in the morning at 670 KLTT. And then at 11 o'clock in the morning on 1220 KLDC. DC is like Darren Carmack, KLDC. And if you would like to listen to previous programs or look at the newsletter or get the Bible guide download, you can go to freedomstreet.org, hit resources, and the radio shows will be right there. And you can go anywhere you want to on radio shows. We have a lot of shows up there, wonderful titled radio shows. You can also go to Spotify and type in Freedom ST Radio, and that will get you to our program. Spotify is a huge, huge platform. And thank you so much, Chris, for getting us on Spotify. So I want you to understand there's a lot of places where you can go, and don't get scared. Don't get hesitant. Just go in there and be adventurous, because we're all learning something new. We all are. Oh, praise God. Our meeting Saturday was so good. We just had such a wonderful time around the table. Our next Saturday meeting, the second Saturday of every month, is September the 12th, and we meet together at the restaurant at 9:30. I want to tell you that Saturday, as we were, I took the Bible study, so we had a couple hours there in the, it was so hot. We didn't go to the house. We will be going in September. But we just sat around the table at this wonderful restaurant. All the servers know us. It's just really fun. It's like being with family. And when I asked the friends around the table at the restaurant, how many idols must we eliminate in our daily walk? Idols are those things that you focus on. Focus on more than God. You don't have time, as much time for God, because you got to do this and this and this and this and this. It reminds me of the teaching that Darren used to do from Ezekiel 14. In verse 3, Son of Man, and he's talking to Ezekiel, these men have set their idols up in their hearts and have put right before their faces the stumbling blocks of their iniquities. Should I be consulted by them? Should I even listen to them? Well, God doesn't. if you've got your idols that are right before your face in your heart, and that's all you think about all day long. So I asked him, what are some of the things that you focus on during your day? It's really interesting. Some of them said our houses, upkeep of the houses, food that we eat. We're always thinking about what we're going to eat next. Children. One person around the table said, children. Oh, children aren't idols. Oh, yes, they can be idols. When you put your children before your husband and before God, they can become idols. Our cars, our job, our vocation, those are important things. One dear friend around the table, God bless you, Ken, he said, look out for self. And I thought, wow, that's really good. Eve thought of the wisdom she would have if she gave in to Lucifer's desires for her. It's selfishness and self-centeredness, folks, that get us into real problems. And it's me, 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 and I, and we've got to watch out for thinking of our own needs and our own desires and fill our day with just me. So remember those things. Put God first. It's so important that you put him first. Praise the Lord. Our memory verse for this week is 1 Peter 2:9. Love this. I was telling Kimberly this morning, our memory verse for this week is 1 Peter 2:9. She says, oh, Mom, I love that. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now, in the Old Testament, as you read, this was Israel. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. In the New Testament, I'm going to talk about that maybe tomorrow. God's possession, that was Israel. In the new covenant, that's us. Yes, he has chosen us to be his royal priesthood and holy nation when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And it goes on to say that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And as I've told you before, coming out of darkness, there are only two options that you have in your life. You're either serving the devil in the kingdom of darkness, or you're serving Jesus in the kingdom of light. There's no other options, friends. No other. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Praise the Lord. And in the Living Translation, 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. That's how he thinks of you. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people. That's right. Now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Oh, hallelujah. We have his goodness, his mercy, his love, anything that we need. He is the wonderful master of all that we need. And what we need to do is proclaim his name with praise and worship. That's right. And he will fill in the blanks. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a person that has identity in Jesus Christ? Well, we're going to go into that quite a bit, both today and hopefully tomorrow, unless Jesus comes back. Oh, so we want to set our mind on things above and not on things of the earth. I see in you such a growth, such a maturity. Since I started this 35 years ago with Darren, I want to let you know that you have matured. Sometimes you may not think that you are growing, but you have grown. You're maturing. You're a person of wisdom. You have Jesus' righteousness, and you know where you're going. That's right. So set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. For you are dead to the things of this physical world. Remember what Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God, the faith of Jesus Christ. You were never meant to do things yourself. Never. You were never meant to do things by yourself. See yourself as co-reigning with Christ. Ponder and relocate yourself mentally, because the mindset on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Oh, and we want that peace. We want life. We want a good life. What is the whole world looking for? They're looking for peace. Remember when President Trump and the Arab nations signed this Abraham Accord? That was what they were looking for, peace. But peace without God cannot be attained, because God is the Prince of Peace, Jehovah Shalom. And Jehovah Shalom did not appear when things are going just great. He doesn't. When we're under a lot of pressure and we're backed into a wall, that's when he seems to come and deliver us when we are really frightened and scared. And, oh, God, help me. I've done that a lot of times. He comes and he brings peace when things are falling apart and looking very dark. I want to take you to that time in the Old Testament. It's one of the early books. And this was a book where they did not look to God. And you can tell that when you're going through the book of Judges. When God, the Prince of Peace, came on the scene, it was during a very chaotic time in Israel. And let's turn to Judges 6. I love this story. Israel had been hounded by the Amalekites and the Midianites, who were destroying all the crops, and the country was being devastated. It was not a country that looked beautiful any longer. And it seems like when the Jewish people come into a country and inhabit a country, trees grow, plants grow, they get crops, wonderful, wonderful harvests. But here, all the crops in the country were devastated. Then, in Judges 6, then, that word then usually means a dramatic change. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash. Now Gideon, son of Joash, was beating out the wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites, and maybe hide himself from the Midianites. He was scared. He was really shaking in his boots. And the angel of God approached Gideon. Now this was in the 11th and 12th verse of Judges 6. The angel of God approached Gideon with this salutation. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. He didn't look like much of a hero. See, when God says to you, I want you to do this, mighty woman of God, mighty man of God, and you say, oh God, this is too hard. This is impossible. Don't say that to God. He's going to open doors that you never believed. We're going to go on here. The angel of God who said to Gideon, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors tell us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Whoa, what a declaration, a negative declaration. Let's not do that. Let's learn not to be negative in our replies. Now, all that was left for Gideon to say is, woe is me. There's nowhere to turn. So what do we do when things are not going well? That's the time to speak in tongues, to praise God, to thank him for who he is, because he's the one that's going to open the doors for us. We can't do that ourselves. God is the one that's going to do it. So why was all of this happening to Israel at this time in Judges 6? They had turned into an idolatrous, disobedient country. Just like I told you before, they had put idols before their faces and into their hearts from these heathen countries. Their daily activities were worshiping Baal and Asherah. Oh, and God warned them. God warned them that their enemies would overtake them and conquer them if they turned away from God. And they allowed these foreign nations to come in and build idols and take over. Oh, we cannot allow that. Not in the United States of America, friend. Verse 14 of Judges 6 says, then the Lord turned to Gideon and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Well, Gideon went through several excuses. Just like I do, just like you do too. I know. Explaining to the Lord why he had the wrong man to rescue Israel from the Midianites. Do you see why I believe Now here it says the angel of the Lord. I want to tell you the angel of the Lord was Jesus, is Jesus. In Judges 13, when Manoah and his wife asked the angel of the Lord what his name is, the angel of the Lord confirms that he is Jesus when he says, "Why do you ask my name, knowing that it is wonderful?" Where is wonderful found? Where are the attributes found? In Isaiah 9:6, when God is telling Isaiah, "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Praise God. Praise the Lord. And so God is going to tell him, "I am the one that brings peace to you." Here we go. God lays it all out and confirms it by giving us those magnificent names. So Jesus here in Judges 6 is the angel of the Lord, the Prince of Peace. Now, there are angels mentioned in the Old and New Testament. We read about them all the time. They give aid, they give comfort, they bring prophetic and future events to certain prophets. These are angels, and how can you tell that it is an angel of the Lord or the angel of God? That's these little wonderful predicates. An angel of the Lord is one who is created by God to help us in our service and in their service to us. The angel of God means Jesus is the messenger from God. In Numbers 22, remember the donkey recognized the angel of the Lord. And why do people find it so hard to hear the voice of God? That's for another day. Verse 15 of Judges 6 says, "But God," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." Now, you may feel like him. You may feel overwhelmed. You may feel unworthy. You may feel inferior, just a puny person. No, don't do that anymore if you're in Jesus. The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." And then the Lord and Gideon went through several acts of obedience and building faith to encourage him to the next step of his assignment. God is going to always help you get acclimated to the calling that he has on your heart. He's not just going to throw you into something huge. He's going to do it little by little. He's that wonderful God. He's that loving God that knows exactly what you can take. I want to take a few moments and make Gideon my identity subject, quote, identity subject, by looking at what he was like before the encounter with the angel of the Lord, with God himself, with Jesus Christ. He was fearful. He was avoiding conflict, avoiding confrontation with the Midianites, who seemed to be everywhere. He was fearful and feeling ashamed or embarrassed, anxious. He was feeling inferior to everyone around him, unworthy. Remember, he said, "We're the least of the tribes." Unworthy to take on a project so immense, so impossible, and all the time trying to be logical, trying to figure all this out. Sometimes, folks, we cannot figure it out. We can't. And I'm so glad that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 that reasoning is foolishness to God. Trying to reason something out is not going to do it. So then the angel of the Lord proclaimed Gideon's spiritual identity. He said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And seeing the Lord consume the meat and unleavened bread which Gideon had placed as an offering, he cried out, "O sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord replied, "Do not be afraid. You will not die." And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom. Yahweh Shalom. And you know what Shalom means. We say it often. Peace. The Lord is peace. Gideon was not in a cushy position in his country, or was it a peaceful place when Jehovah Shalom made his appearance in Judges 6? God starts Gideon's change of identity by instructing him to tear down his father's idols. Whoa! Asking him to start changing his own home, his own family. In Judges 6:25, that night the Lord said to Gideon, "Take the second bull from your father's herd." Oh, what if you took something from his car? and you wrecked it. He took this bull. He gives it as a sacrifice. The one who is 7 years old. This is God instructing him. Pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hillside sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. So verse 27, Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord commanded. Well, these guys were willing to follow Gideon. He had some leadership qualities. He tore down his father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole to the female deity that the Midianites had worshipped. He was obedient to God's orders, but he did it at night. See, because there was some fear. He was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people of the town. Early the next morning, someone discovered that the altar of Baal had been broken down and that the Asherah pole beside it had been cut down. Oh, they're idols. Oh, how sad. Isn't that sad? People that were chosen by God are worshiping dumb idols. In their place, a new altar had been built, and on it were the remains of the bull that had been sacrificed. The people said to each other, "Who did this?" And after asking around and making a careful search, they learned that it was Gideon, the son of Joash. "Bring out your son," the men of the town demanded of Joash. "He must die for destroying the altar of Baal and for cutting down the Asherah pole." I love what Joash said. My tongue is going before my brain. I love what Joash, the father of Gideon, said. He becomes bold. He shouted to the mob that confronted him, "Why are you defending Baal? Will you argue his case? Whoever pleads his case will be put to death by morning. If Baal truly is a god, let him defend himself and destroy the one who broke down his altar." Well, we know Baal couldn't do it. From then on, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, which means "let Baal defend himself," because he broke down Baal's altar. Oh, what a courageous and brave thing. I love this story because I can truly relate to Gideon with fear and questioning my role in this life. Yes, I've gone through that. When Darren went to be with the Lord, I was shaking in my boots, literally. When Darren, who was the master radio host, departed, I felt like Gideon when I heard these words from the Lord. I didn't know what to do those first three weeks. "Lord, shall I just cancel? Do you want me to go on to something different?" He said, "I will be with you." Remember the words, Barbara. "I will be with you. You will continue what I started in Darren and youth 19 years ago. You will encourage and build up the body of Christ through my powerful words." So the Lord has been true to his word and given me grace in every situation that I have experienced. Praise his name. Oh, I give him all the glory. I take no credit. I want you to know that. When Gideon took in the words of the Lord that he would be with him, do you see a change in this man? As he realized through the fleece demonstrations he asked of God and tearing down Baal, he took on a courageous identity in mind and spirit. He summoned the men from four tribes to meet with him and get ready for battle against the Midianites. He wouldn't have done this before God spoke to him. God put that courage into him. God gave him that hero mentality. 22,000 men assembled around Gideon. God's words not only made him courageous, but he became a leader of men. Boy, and that is not easy or simple stuff, folks. But God told him that was too many. Read Judges 6. It's so good. So they dwindled down to 10,000. And I'm not going to go through the specific steps. Then 10,000. And then the Lord says, that's still too many. They got down to 300 men. 300 to take on these hordes, these Midianites. We humans think that great things happen with huge crowds. Oh, but so much of the time, friend, that's not God's way of doing things when he's in charge. You may be going through a transformation of something you never dreamed of. You know the famous phrase from The Chosen, "Get used to different." Well, that is absolutely true in my life, and I'm sure that you're going through a whole lot of changes also. When you hear the verse of this week, do you think it applies to you or someone else? Here it is again. "But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, We're all called to be a kingdom of priests, folks, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, made for you. From nothing, you were nothing, to something. You are so important to God. You are so important to God. He delights in you. From rejected, you were rejected. And so many of you felt rejected in this world, but you are no longer lonely or rejected. Even if you're alone in this world, being alone is not loneliness. It is not. You are maybe alone in this world, but never alone in the eyes of God. So he made you accepted and he made you into something special. I believe that you are a person that God is going to use for important work in these last days. Keep your eyes open. Keep your mind open, because we know that God does special and extraordinary things. And I want you to be ready to accept him and love him and give him all the glory when he works through you. Oh, as he's worked through me, I was not, as you know, I don't have the greatest vocabulary. And I'm saying, God, I can't do this. Darren was such a grammarian. He knew what to say all the time. And Holy Spirit said, do you know where he got that? He got that from me. You just be quiet and listen, and I will teach you and guide you and give you the wisdom that you can speak over the radio to my people, because I love your listeners. I love your people that are listening to me, and I'm going to give them great and mighty things. Great and mighty things that you never even thought of. Holy Spirit is ready to do that for you. Oh, God bless you and keep you. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk more about your identity in Jesus Christ. So join me tomorrow. Go to freedomstreet.org, click on resources, get radio shows, and listen to August the 10th to get you introduced to what we're going to talk about on Tuesday. God bless you and keep you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in